All right, it's good to see you today. It is the 4th of July, and we're going to look at something just a little bit different than normal when we're talking about... Yes, they can. I'm sorry. Debbie didn't come to the door, so I forgot. The kids can be dismissed. Go back there and tell her, Frenchie. There she is. Yay! Kids can be dismissed. Thank you, Dallas. Kids can be dismissed. Threes and fours back there and up to whatever, you know how you're supposed to go. Thank you, Dallas. When Jose was young, he came to the United States, and early on by himself, he made his way to Yankee Stadium, and he wanted to see a ball game. So he got to the gate, and there were no tickets left, but the ticket master had mercy on him and saw his disappointment. So he said, here's what I'm going to do. You're going to have to stand up, but I'm going to just put you over here by the flag. You just stand here at the end of the flagpole, and you can watch the game. So sure enough, he did, and they did the whole thing, you know, stood, slew the flag, sang the national anthem, and it was over. He got home, and he wrote a note back to his family. He said, I'm just amazed by these Americans. They're just so friendly. He said, you know, before the game, everybody stood up and looked at me and said, Jose, can you see? There's more to it than that, all right? I guarantee you. In Romans chapter 13 is what we're looking at today. I've had some people in my own family just say, we don't talk about politics in church because that's not right. And then they use Romans 13 to try to justify it. I'm thinking, what does Romans 13 talk about? It talks about government. So what is wrong with talking about the government? There's only two things that are important. Number one, people that rule our lives every day by the government and what you're going to do in eternity. Other than that, there's really nothing else to talk about. If you want to come, I mean, the basics, that's what it is. And that's what they try to say. Oh, well, we don't talk about it. And they said, because of Romans 13. And I said, that ain't the way we operate at our church. We talk about all that stuff because it affects our life every day. John Knox. If you know anything about the Reformation, John Knox was a leader in the Scottish Confession of Faith because Queen Mary of Guise had taken over rule there, and, you know, she was a Catholic, taught Catholic, pushed that on them, and there was a lot of stuff going on. He had already served as a galley slave for 19 months because he was speaking out against that. And then when he was released, he went and studied with John Calvin, who was a major reformer, for about 6 years. And then when he came back, he had an interview with Queen Mary, and this is what some of the interviews said, all right? See, did I turn my thing on? Here we go. Mary accused John Knox, and he was one of the main writers of the Scottish Confession of Faith. She accused him of having wrongly taught the people to receive another religion than their princes. You know who princes are, right? In that governor system, it'd be like your governors or your senators or the president, the ones that make the rules. And she said, you were wrong by teaching these people to follow something other than what our princes said is okay, and her being one of those. And how can that doctrine be of God, seeing that God, this is what she says, how can that doctrine be of God since God commands subjects to obey their princes? And she asked, and she's referring to Romans chapter 13. We're going to read the five verses in just a moment. And he answers, he says, Madam, as right, religion took neither its origin nor authority from worldly princes, but from the eternal God alone. So subjects, us, he's saying, are not bound to frame their religion according to the appetites of the princes. The president ain't supposed to tell us who to worship, basically. That's, you know, that's where we are. On a governing authority, they're not the ones that tell us what we're supposed to be able to do from a religious standpoint. That was the issue then. And he admonished her, and he said, God commands queens to nurse. He said, you're supposed to be helping look out for the people. That's what your job is. That's what all leaders are supposed to do. Unto the people. She said, yeah, but you're not the church that I want to nourish. And she was a problem for them until she was abdicated in 1560, I think it was. He said, your will, madam, is no reason for us to have to do what you're saying. And that's the way the role functioned until she was gone. Basically the same thing. A lot of people take this that we're going to read in Romans, and this is what they say. This is what Romans says. Let every person be subject to governing authorities. Your translation may say power, authority. Some use interchangeable word. That's in that place. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God to execute his wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, based on all what he just said, one must subject not only to avoid wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. And a lot of people try to use that to say, well, you know, God is over all the governments, and we'll see, absolutely, God ordains them or they will not be in place. He allows them. But it doesn't mean that every one of them is right. And it doesn't mean that we never go against that. But a lot of people, they take these verses and that's what, oh, God put it in the government, so we have to do everything the government says. That's not true. And that's what we're going to look at quickly. The fundamental principle here that Paul is talking about in Romans is this: Christians are as people to be noted for their civil obedience. What does that mean? If it says 70, drive 70. Okay, that's civil obedience. If you have to pay your taxes, you pay your taxes. That's what that means. As by and large, he says Christians are people who are going to try to do the right thing. But you have to remember in the context, what he's saying is when he looks at it, he's going to help us see that, listen, every time they're... If Paul is talking about a good government that has the right thing in mind and they punish the bad people and they look out for the good people, then you will not have any problem submitting to that. But if that is not the case, and then the government comes and tells you to go against what God says, you have the right and should refuse to do what it says. That's the issue. And a lot of people say, oh, no, we don't have that right. The strange ironies of the church history is that while Rome was persecuting the Christian community, the apologists were writing, said, but look how they obeying the rules, they're doing what you say. The only thing they don't want to do is they don't want to bow down to Caesar and say Caesar is Lord. Everything else, they're paying their taxes. They're good people. They don't cause any trouble. But you're telling them they have to bow down and say Caesar is Lord, and they say, we're not going to do it. So they killed him. He said, that's the only thing they're doing wrong. And he's trying to write it up and say, listen, they're good people. This is why they're not doing what you want them to do, because you're trying to tell them how to worship, and they're not going to do that. They got into trouble when they refused. You know, here's how that works. What if you lived in China and they told you you could only have one child, and if it was a girl, you had to kill him? What you going to do? Kill her. What would you do? You're going to go along, get along? There comes a time you say, well, that's extreme, but we're headed there. We're going to have, before long, the government's going to tell us things that are absolutely against what God said, and we're going to have to make a decision. It doesn't matter if God is over the whole entire system. Every government that he has ordained doesn't mean that it's a good government. We're going to show you a couple of those examples real quick. In that situation, they were to obey God rather than man. We'll see Peter and John. We should obey the civil magistrates, but the balance is this. We first have to obey God. So if the government says to do something that's against what we know God commands, we cannot do what the government says if we're willing to pay the price. And that's exactly what they did. And Peter and John, the same thing. The conflict is between what the civil magistrate commands and what God demands. It is our moral duty to disobey the civil government if they try to make us do something that's against what we know God commands. That is the issue. When is a government a legitimate government? Is when they get to decide who lives and dies, is that legitimate? When is it right to rebel against a tyrannical government? When is it right? Or is it permitted at all? What about our own War of Independence? What if you'd have been living here, 245 years ago? You know what they said this morning? When all this started happening? Would you have been on the colonist side or England side? Would you have been willing to fight? Or you're, well, they're over us. We got to go along with them. You know, we do everything else the government says. We do everything, every other fad everybody else in the world does. Why don't we go along with this? You know, that's a whole different world, isn't it? When we'll get to that too. If we had been living then, what would we have done? How do you operate now? Do you just go along? Do you just get the vaccine because you want to fly on the plane? You know, that kind of stuff. You say, well, you're starting meddling now. No, that's just the way that goes. Somebody tells us we have to do this, and then a little bit of time passes and say, well, that was a fluke anyway. But they're going to try to make us do something, especially in the serious cases when God says, no, that's not what it is. What are we to do when there are rival claims to the throne, when the people are trying to tell us what to do? The throne is me. Am I going to do what God says, or do I do what the government says? And do I have the right to rebel, or do I have to say, oh, no, God's over it? So I don't have a choice. Which one should we obey? What point does it we come to when an unjust ruler becomes legitimate? How does that work? Or what about the limits? Do they have the right to just kill anybody they want to? Paul says obeying the governing authorities, it does not mean that we obey everything they command. We got to think. You know, that's the thing of the past, isn't it? To analyze something. Just because Wikipedia says it, do you know how wrong they are most of the time on a lot of their stuff? You don't just type in Google and go with what they say. Good, I hope you don't do that. You're a fool if you are. I'll just go ahead and tell you, that's what you are. What about the unjust acts commanded by an evil government? How about that? Well, we don't have that. We don't. We already have some. It's just coming. Killing civilians, lying. How about the CVA? How about Watergate? How about, I'm not supposed to be political, am I? I'm sorry. We live there, you know. I remember one of the guys when Meredith was playing volleyball in Atlanta, one of the guys, he just said, you know, we don't talk about religion and we don't talk about politics. I said, then we don't have anything to talk about because that covers all life. Eternity, what's going to happen to me when I die, and everything else that governs the way my life is lived here now. So if we can't talk about those, we don't have anything to talk about. Because everything we deal with is under one of those categories, eh? That's exactly right. Are there limits to what must be obeyed? Or should we just say, well, we're just going to do what the government says. We don't really care. Most people do that. They think just because the governor says that's what we're supposed to do. Or just because the president says that, or Fauci, whatever his name is, says that, we're supposed to do it. He's an idiot on top of everything, isn't he? Doesn't it unfold that way? I mean, think about it. We have to think. And that's exactly what Peter and John is going to show us. The church is supposed to be, we are believers. We're supposed to be a people who are sojourners. We're aliens. We don't live by the rules of the world. The world doesn't tell us what clothes to wear. We don't all go out and buy holy jeans just because it's the fad. We don't all go out and get earrings in our nose just because it's the fad. You know, we're sojourners. We're just coming through this place. We're going somewhere else. But what happens is we live in such a way that there's no way the rest of the world sees us as a sojourner. They see us as our main thing is what's in this world. That is the problem. A happy, peaceful, loving people who swear allegiance to Jesus or foreign king, that's the way the world should see us. Should we obey traffic laws and do everything? Absolutely. We should be the best. We should be the best workers. We shouldn't ride out the clock. We shouldn't cheat on. We should give an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. But when it tells us that we have to worship different something in God's perspective, then we have to draw a line and say, no, we can't. The church is a free people because our minds, remember that verse in chapter 12 of Romans? Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. Don't let the world tell you what to do. Don't let the world tell you how to act. Don't let the world tell you what to wear. You know, it's so amazing, isn't it? You watch people. Well, I'm just going to be different, and they're just like everybody else. You know, I'm not going to follow these fads. And you look at them, they all look just like cheetah. They all look just alike. They act the same. You can't tell them apart. Oh, but we're different. No, you're not. You're just like everybody else. You're just like everybody else. So we're not enslaved by fashion or fad or any other crazy stuff. So when the world looks at us, they say, why are they doing things a little bit different? Because they understand this world is not all it is about. They're just kind of coming through this thing right now, so they're not going to get covered up by the world. We have to hurry and get to the real part, all right? I'm sorry. Culture, politics, and Christianity. Boy, that's something a mouthful, isn't it? Especially right now where we're living in this woke, crazy society. One of the crucial issues before the church is this. Will we be Americans with just a little pinch of religion in our life that somebody might say, well, they're religious. It doesn't really mean anything in their life, but they're religious. Or will we really be Christ's people with just a pinch of American flavoring? What's going to control us the most? Yeah. What is it? It's sad to say, a lot of times you can't tell a Christian from anybody else. The way they live and where they go and the way they speak and what they do, that's what we're talking about. They just kind of amalgamated with the rest of the world. You can't tell them any different. Are we more American than we are Christian? A lot of crazy people think every Republican is a Christian. Can you believe that? There are just as many pagans in the Republican system as there are Democrats. A majority are pagans. If you just listen to them just a minute, they are. That doesn't mean anything. Well, just because you're in America, that means you're a Christian. Really? Is that right? Hello? No, it doesn't mean that. There are things in our society that define us. The things that we do define us, so the rest of the world looked at us and said, oh, yeah, they're no different than we are. They say their allegiance is to Jesus, but they don't live like it. They don't live different, any different whatsoever. They're just going along with the system everybody else created. We're constantly being shaped by forces in the culture that make us look like the rest of the world. Why do you want to be like everybody else? Remember what Forrest Gump said? When his crazy girlfriend said, Forrest, who you want to be? What did he say? I want to be me. I want to be somebody else. I want to be me. Yeah, why don't you be you? Let Jesus define that who it is for you. We must declare that Jesus is Lord. Boy, that's a declaration, isn't it? Man, that's something when you stand up and you make a cultural statement by saying, we're not going to do like everybody else does. And it's okay, even if the government demands it. It's a radical declaration of independence from our culture. But we've lost it. We've lost it in the theological circle of training of pastors in our theological schools. They're gone. A lot of Southern Baptist stuff is gone. They sold out again. I don't know if you've been keeping up with what's been going on. Most of the other denominations, they've been gone. We've been trying to hold on, but now I don't know what's going to happen. They all sell out. They want everybody to like them. Every day's a Friday. Well, we don't want to say anything against them. They might not come back. Well, unless they're going to change, they probably don't need to come back. Why? Because you're going to keep confronting them to try to say, you know, this is what God has in mind for you. Are you going to live this way? Are you going to do your own thing? And then by conviction alone, they have to make a choice. And that's not up to us. That's up to what God does. This has often been used to justify conformity to the status quo. Well, you know, God's in charge of the government, so if the government says this is okay, we just have to go with it and we can't question it, basically. You'd be surprised how many people that call themselves Christians, that's where they operate. You know, you read it in theological circles, and that's what they say. They try to defend it this way. It could be used to keep the church during the Nazi regime down. Did they? Oh, yeah, that's exactly what they did. How about in 50 years ago when some of the people were trying to help equal race among the African Americans? Oh, God's in charge of all that, so that's the way it should be? No, that's not the way that works. Not at all. Or hinder those who are trying to do something. Paul makes three main points, and here's the crux of it, all right? Number one, all governor authority has been ordained by God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of them I don't understand. Don't understand, but absolutely, it did not happen without God okaying it. Okay? Even Nazi. You know, when you look at some of those things, you have to understand some of those things are a consequence of people's sin. And sometimes God uses, just like he did the Assyrians. You know, the Jews were asking God, how would you let these Assyrians be the ones that harm us? He said, because you've sinned, and I'm going to take care of them, but I'm going to use them to teach you a lesson. Sometimes that could be what's been going on through history, and even right now. We're seeing right now in America what our nonsense has been allowed to produce the last 40 years. It's our consequences because nobody's been doing anything. The one who could have said something didn't say anything. Number two, based on the first point that God is sovereign, Paul says, listen, this is it. A person who resists this governor authority, you're going to have a guilty conscience and you could be chastised severely by the government. Number two. Number three, to avoid this, you just submit to the government. Basically, that's what's going on here, all right? But here's a different place. If we believe all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, I believe that absolutely. It tells me exactly what my problem is, and it tells me exactly how to fix it if I'll just listen to it. That the man of God, person, not just man, may be complete, equipped, that you'll know how to handle life. All right, that's what it's saying. I believe that. All of Scripture. You can't pull out Romans 13 without looking through the rest of the Bible and try to say, okay, how does exactly this fit? Are you saying we can never go against anything in the government? Is that the way the whole Bible reads? No, it doesn't read that way. So in honor to really understand the whole thing in Romans 13, we got to go somewhere else. There's quite a few biblical texts that tell us exactly, and we're going to look at them real, real quick, how this fits into the rest of Scripture. There's been a lot of civil disobedience in the Old Testament. And God seemed to okay it and praise the people for doing it. Okay? How about that? Remember the first one? Exodus chapter 1. The children of Israel have been down in Egypt now for several centuries. They're making a lot of new children. You know, they're getting more numerous than the Egyptians. The Egyptians said, man, we got to do something about this. So the leader says, you know, midwives, whenever these Hebrew ladies come in there, make sure if it's a boy, you kill him. All right? And the midwives said, oh, no, no, we're not going to do that. Is that civil disobedience? Hello? Absolutely. And the midwives, they didn't do it. So the Egyptians came back to them and said, wait a minute, what's going on? You remember what they said? Oh, these Hebrew women, they have their children so quick. It's already done before we get there, and then we don't know what happens. But the midwives said, oh, no, this is not of God, and we're not going to do it. And God blessed it. Absolute civil disobedience. Why? Because the midwives believe God and God bless it. Because even though the government said, you kill them, they said, we're not going to because that's not what God wants. Absolutely. So they dealt with the midwives and the people multiplied and they grew. More and more and more Hebrews came out of that. It's clear as day, these women said, we don't care what the government says, we're not going to do that. Most of us in this day and time, we don't even think. We just say, well, that must be the best because that's the government. They have to know. Ain't that right? I mean, honestly, that's what look at some of that stuff on Stephen Crowder where they go to these college campuses and ask some of these people, what about this and what about this? And especially when they were talking about the wall and building a wall and started asking questions, they didn't have a clue. They didn't even know their name, much less about what person thought about this. They don't ever think. They don't know. We have to think. Just because the government says something doesn't mean that God says we have to do that, all right? Thank the Lord we have freedom for a while. Am I shouting? Sounds like I'm shouting. I'm sorry. I get kind of excited because this is, so many people cover this up. They saw the command of the king not as a command of God, but contrary to what God said, said, we're not going to do it. And they didn't do it. So they disobeyed the civil authorities for God's sake, and God blessed them. So God was not mad with them when they did it. How about in Daniel chapter 3? You remember? He comes up and says, you know, everybody's got to bow down and worship this thing. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego said, you can hang it on your beak. We're not doing that. It was a government order. Everybody's got to do this. They said, we're not going to do that. So they threw them in the fiery furnace. God was in the fiery furnace with them. Does that show that God's agreeing with them? Absolutely. We're not going to bow down and worship this God. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's money or prestige or what it is. I'm not going to bow down to it. And these guys didn't. And God blessed them and brought them out of it. Isn't that right? Is that civil disobedience? When the king makes a decree that you got to bow down to this thing, and these boys said, no. Is that civil disobedience? Yeah, it is. There's another case. There's another one, chapter 6. Remember, same guy. You know, nobody else can pray to anybody else but our God and Daniel. Daniel knows that after the law is made, Daniel goes to his room, prays 3 times a day, just like he always has. He knows the law says don't do that. And the people spying on him go tell the king, and they what do? Throw him in a lion's den. They're going to kill him. Where does God show up there too? Absolutely. Does the lions kill him? No. Does God approve of it? Absolutely. Why? Because they're going against what God commanded them to do. We have that right. So Romans 13 is not saying, just across the board, don't use your brain. If the government says it's okay, it's got to be okay, you just go with it. No. No. And here's the crazy thing. We don't wait for the government to do it. We let our peers do it. We let our peers be our God. So we bow down and do everything else everybody else is doing because, my goodness, we don't want to be different. Even though we're supposed to be exiles, even though we're supposed to be sojourners and aliens, and we're not supposed to look like the rest of the world, we look and act just like them. Their priorities are our priorities. We do everything just like they do it. It's the same thing, right? even though it's not might not be a civil disobedience. Same thing happened there. Quickly. How about Peter and John? Remember Peter and John? The Jewish authorities arrested him and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Were they civil authorities? They were. The Jewish authorities had some authority over them. Could do a lot of things, but they couldn't kill them. Here's what it says. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Well, you know what they said? Go jump in the creek. We're going to keep doing what we're supposed to do. We don't care what you say. Is that civil disobedience? Hello? When somebody comes up and says, oh, Romans 13 says you never. That ain't what that said. When you look at the whole scheme of the Bible, this is just a few instances. This is not exhausted by any means. So they went on teaching in the public, and then they were arrested again. They didn't quit. So they came back to them a second time, and the high priest said to them in Acts chapter 5, he says, we already told you not to do this. They said, we can't help but do it. You can do whatever you need to do. They're willing to pay the price. Why? Because God was their king, not the world. God was their king, not the Jewish authorities. And that's exactly what they did. Peter and the apostles said, we must obey God rather than man. That's tough, isn't it? It's tough to obey God rather than man when you want everybody to like you, when you want to fit in, when you don't want anybody to make fun of you or say anything to you. I remember in the early days while I was still farming and, you know, bless his heart, he's not anymore. My brother was an alcoholic. My dad was an alcoholic. And everybody that was around us were alcoholics. Okay, let me just go ahead and tell you what I think about that. It is never okay to drink. Okay, that's where I am. I don't know anything positive. If you have to have some kind of something like that for medical purposes, but just to get you a buzz, it's never okay. Because it's never, it always produces something else. You become even a bigger fool than you are already. I mean, that's just always the way it was. But all these people were around us, and you know, they would, and this is way, I was just trying to live for Jesus as an 18-year-old boy, you know, working on the farm. And they'd make fun of me, and they'd call me preacher, and I never preached it in my life, but that's just the way it turned out. You know what, even then, I didn't have enough sense to know, you don't define who I am. This is what I'm going to do because this is what I'm supposed to do. And thank the Lord, majority of us got converted before I left the farm. Why? Because I just already made up my mind. No more than I knew. I don't have to do that. And I'm going to be different. And I can be by myself and I can be satisfied. I don't have to have all these other people around me. We must obey God rather than man. That's what they said. All these examples, it is hard to say that the Bible teaches that since all governing authority is from God, therefore they must always be obeyed and never not obeyed. You can't do that. Not if you go through the whole scripture. That's why we went to these other places. Authority is set up by God. Do I believe that? Yes. Why you would put Biden in office? I don't know. I don't understand that. I think some of it's punishment because we've been living in America the last 50 years. You know, you go to Deuteronomy and you see a lot of times exactly what God did to his own people was punishment when he allowed these certain people to be over them because of their own sin. So I'm not going to say we deserve it because that's exactly what we deserve, the way we've lived in America. You don't kill how many million babies in America in the last, what, 30 years? You don't do that without some repercussions. I mean, you just don't. And when you start looking at all those things, you can understand, well, I understand. Because I believe God is sovereign, that nobody goes in office without him approving it. Absolutely. I don't understand it, but I ain't going to try to understand it. None of the rulers, Paul said, in this age understood. He knew Jesus was convicted unjustly. So he's not naive to think, oh, everything, the governors, governments, they always make the right decisions. They don't. Matter of fact, if they start out making the right decisions, just give them a little time, and where will they go? In the gutter. Why? Because somebody's going to buy them out. It's always money. He knew exactly the death of Jesus was not right. They did exactly the opposite. And this is what I think Paul is saying. If we had a government who really was trying to do the right thing, punishing the bad guys and helping the good guys, we would not have a problem submitting to anything they do. But they don't. We're the bad guys. Meredith was watching, it's an advertisement, I think, actually. I walked in on it. This guy actually worked for a security system company where they were making cameras for this. I'm going to check into it. Sounds like it's pretty cheap, and it's legit. They had someone break in their house and stole some of their stuff, so they kind of set up another deal where they would come back in and they got it all. You know, they pretty much had it on video. This is who it was. So they took it to the police, caught the guy. He was already a convicted felon. Because what he had stolen didn't amount to a lot, they didn't do anything to him, and they couldn't send him back to his home state because of COVID. The home state wouldn't let him back. So a convicted felon who was just convicted of robbing this family is let out on the street. When you have that kind of government, don't think that they're always looking out the best for the good people. So sometimes you don't have what Paul's saying. If it is going good, you're going to want to do the good thing because the government's going to look out for you. I'm afraid we already passed that. Wouldn't you think? Yes. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. The evidence for this outside of Paul's writing is in Daniel and John. We just looked at it already. Rulers are not a terror to good conduct. Do good, and if you got a good government, that's true. But when do you have a good government? Where is there a good government on the earth right now? Do you know where one is? You see, that's what he's talking about, if that's the situation. But when you don't have that situation, you better start thinking. The verse in the next one must be general statements of how governments should operate. But how often do they? They don't. He seems to have a good view of government in which doing good deeds will generally give you a good result because the bad guys are going to be punished. But if that's not the situation, you're going to have to make some judgment calls. If that's correct, then it will no longer be possible to enlist that Christians should always be subject to the governor authorities because they're wicked. They're not looking out for the best. As long as authorities punish the evil and praise the good, then you've got something to work with. But when that's not the case, there's sometimes when they tell you to kill your own child, you're going to have to say, you can go jump in the creek. We're not doing that. And it'll cost you. You know, do you know it costs us to homeschool? Because the government is always putting pressure on us in a whole nother way because they don't want us teaching our kids anything different than what the government is trying to push in the public school system. Oh, it costs. In all kind of ways. That's exactly what we're talking about. You have to draw a line sometime and say, we're just not going to do that. I'm not saying every situation is like that, but a lot of the guidelines that the government sets up is to take children out of their parents' influence and put them in there where they can indoctrinate them. Isn't that right? That's exactly what it is. You just need to know that. If you're in the school system, you need to know that. If your kids are in the school system, everyone needs to know that because you'll have to make choices. Because a lot of times you might have to correct your children and say, you know, over the years, I mean a lot of years, sometimes Meredith would come home and kids from church. She'd say, they say this and this. And we just simply say, you know, we just don't do like everybody else. We don't condemn them. We just say, you know, that's not the way we do things. If it's a bad thing, we'd say, you know, the Bible says we don't need to do that, so we're not going to do that. So a lot of times that's what you might have, even when the government demands it. You might have to clarify it for them, especially if they're not at the point where they can analyze it. Because everything the government tells us is not true and is not in our best interest, even though we're right now in a partially free country. How many of us are fools enough in this room to think we own land? Huh? Well, I own land. No, you don't. Don't pay the taxes on it a couple of years and see what happens to it. Oh, the government owns that land. Huh? Try that one time. Try not paying for 4 or 5 years and see what happens. They'll sell it on the courthouse square for you. You don't own it. You rent it. And that is just a fraction of so many things we don't really have. We do have some freedom compared to a lot of people in other parts of the world, but we're not just free, 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 free. And once you give in to thinking, oh, they always got the best in mind for us. Really? Tell me one thing. No, I'm sorry. I'm getting off on my hobby horse now, aren't I? But if the authorities ever begin to push the good reward, the bad, boy, go to church history and look at that one. How many times were the good people punished and the bad people let off? Then submission to God will bring us into conflict with the authorities. It's going to be there. It's always been there, and it's always going to be there. So the command to be subject verses in verse 1 through 5 is not an absolute. You got to think. It depends on whether subjection will involve us in doing wrong. When the government tells us this, does it go against something that God tells us? Well, number one, you got to know what God told you first. If you don't know anything about what the Bible says, you'll just go along with it, because you know what they say, cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not scriptural. People quote it all the time as a verse. Find that one for me when you get home, all right? Anybody know where it is? It ain't in there. That's what I'm talking about. We just kind of go along with all this stuff and never even stop to analyze it and think through it. The ultimate criterion of right and wrong is, what does God say? Just because the government says it's okay to kill a baby doesn't mean it's okay to kill a baby. You see? You are so quiet. Am I scaring you or something? What's going on? I'm sorry. I'm elevated for some reason. I don't even know why. Been up a long time. Maybe that's what it is. The fact that God has ordained all authority does not mean all authority should always be obeyed. You got to think. You know, a few years ago, illustrious government IRS people came to churches and said, we're going to give you this just a few $1,000 break. And if you kind of sign up for this, and the ones who were helping make that decision, we said, no, we're not going to sell our soul for $3,000. And we just kind of give into this stuff because, oh, they have the best thing in mind. No. They start to own you. And that's exactly what society does. That's what the world does. We slowly give in to another king who is not Jesus. And a lot of times it is government, but it doesn't have to be the government. It can be a boyfriend. It can be someone in your family because you want everybody to get along. And so you submit that authority that's supposed to be to Jesus to them. So they're ruling you now instead of Christ. Right now, we're just happening to be talking about over government, but it happens every day in our life. Somebody's going to influence us. Who is it? Who's making a choice? Just remember, always, when all this is over, you're going to stand up one day, and there's not going to be anybody there but you and Jesus. And he's going to ask you, what did you do with the blood of Christ? Did you submit your life to that? And that is going to be it. And then eternity will depend on what you've done already. Regardless, if you got killed by the government or whatever happened to you, that's not the end of this thing. The end of this thing is Jesus is Lord, and everybody's going to bow down. Go back and read Revelation again. Some of you just finished it as well, went through the book of Revelation. You look at that and you said, ooh, that's going to be tough. All those vials being opened and all those calamities coming upon the earth and people dying, and then they have to stand before God. And then they'll be judged and go to a damnation forever and ever and ever and ever. And we're not talking about purgatory. We're talking about this ain't no end. That's what it is. Man, you say, that's tough. Yeah, it is, ain't it? Anybody can go along and get along. It is right to resist what God has appointed, a president, a governor. It's right to resist what God has allowed to take place in that position, because if they're doing it right, God can use it for good. It's a right to resist what God has appointed in order to obey what God has commanded. Like the Israelite ladies and the midwives, they knew they were not supposed to kill them. Oh, the government said kill them. They said, oh, no, that ain't right. It costs, doesn't it? Doesn't it cost to do right? Anybody can be a drunk. Anybody can be a dope head. Anybody can do any of that stuff. It's the real ones who say, no, I don't need that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give in to that. That's where the real, you know, even Bob Dylan. Y'all know who Bob Dylan is? Used to sing through his nose, didn't he? Probably still does. He had one album that was a good Christian album. I know he fluctuated back and forth. One day he was a believer, and one day he didn't know what he was. This is what he said. He said, I think of a hero as someone who understands the degree of the responsibility that comes with his freedom. Boy, you can apply that to Christianity. You can apply that to the government. The real heroes are the ones who do not give in to what society and peer pressure tries to bring on us. And we say, I don't care however many people do that. I'm not going to do it because I have the freedom in Christ. I don't have to be like everybody else. And I don't want to be like everybody else. Boy, I hope you don't want to be like me, do you? Lord, I hope not. I still throw dirt at my chickens. It's better than throwing it at y'all, though, right? Will we save our lives and submit to the ruling authority, or will we say with Peter, we must obey God? Well, it's easier to give in and go along with everybody else. It's easy. Peter and John said, hang it on your beak. We cannot do but what Jesus said. Wow. Should we disobey? You should obey the speed limit. You should. There's enough fools out there who don't. The basic laws for everybody's protection, we should do those. But when it tells us to go against something absolutely God says, we have to make a choice. And it's going to cost you. So you need to sit that down and figure out first, am I willing to be alone rather than hang out with all these perverts that are around me? You have to make that call. Are you willing to pay that price? Majority are not. They just go along with everybody else, and they're just like everybody else. Then every now and then they'll say, oh, yeah, but we're believers. Really? You sure act like a pagan. Why would you say? Anyway, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you love us. Lord, we are so consumed with ourselves. All we want is what we want. And how often we never analyze how much the people around us are causing us to do things that we know that are absolutely against what you desire for us. Father, help us have the ability to see it, and help us have the fortitude, intestinal fortitude, to stand up and say, no, we're going to do the right thing, regardless of what it costs us. Father, we thank you for the government that does when they do some right things. We ask that you would just be patient with us and help us turn as a nation back to you. But thank you that you'll take care of us regardless. In Jesus' name, amen.